So happy to see each of you here this morning. We're here to worship God. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to study God's word. This morning I want to ask you the question, are you listening? Are you listening? In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, James said, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works?" I'm sorry. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Now I'll go back up to verse 23. Or verse 22 even. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his face, natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." I want us to look at these verses through our own experience, through our own lives, through our own attitudes, through our own aptitudes, and look and see what they mean to us. Sometimes we can hear without listening. Sometimes a wife will say to a husband, "You're not listening to what I'm saying." Or, "You never listen to anything I say." Of course, a husband could also say that to his wife. "You never listen to what I'm saying." It could be true that we can hear, but our minds are somewhere else and we're not listening. Now, the danger there is when you hear God's word being taught and you're not listening. Your mind is on some business matter. Your mind is on maybe some family problem. Or maybe your mind is on where you're going for lunch after church. You're not listening. You want the preacher to hurry up and get it over with so you can get out of here. But we need to listen to one another. Sometimes between members of the church, perhaps somebody is hurting and they need an ear. In order to get this off their conscience, off their mind, off their chest, we say, they need to talk. And when they talk, they need somebody who will listen. Well, look them in the eye and listen to what they're saying. Listening is crucial at this point. Because if you don't help that person, maybe nobody else is going to help that person. It's up to you. Maybe you see a problem rising in a family, and this person needs to talk about it. And they need an ear. There was one time, a long time ago, a lady had some problems. And I called her on the phone. This was in West Virginia. I just called her. And for a long time, she talked. And I said practically nothing. And at the end of that phone call, she said, "Brother Wright, you have really made me feel better." But what did I say to her? It's not what I said to her. It's the fact that I was listening to what she had to say. And it took a big load off her mind. We have gotten to the point where our attention span is almost nothing. When we watch television, we want something to happen now, or we lose interest and look away. So maybe we've gotten that way when we talk to each other. We maybe listen for a little bit and then we think about something else. Perhaps somebody's developing a destructive habit. Maybe they're getting into the habit of alcohol or drugs or something. And they need somebody to talk to encourage them to quit this destructive habit. They need encouragement to overcome this. Then we ask ourselves, are we listening to God? Do you know God talks to us? Now, He doesn't appear to us in dreams or in visions now, as He did to the prophets of old. But He talks to us through His Word, through reading the Bible, through preaching, through Bible classes. He's talking to us, and He's got a whole lot to say. Are we listening? What do you think the biggest problem in your own personal life is? The Bible will deal with that, whatever it is. And you need to hear God's view on this, and you need to listen to what He's saying, and do what He says to do. People can become blind and deaf. Isaiah said in Isaiah 43:8, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. They're capable of seeing, they're capable of hearing, but they don't see anything and they don't hear anything because they don't want to. So He said, you bring those people and we'll talk with them. And God says to us, you do this and this and this, and you don't do this and this and this. Are you listening? Does God's Word change your mind about anything? Well, if it doesn't, you're probably not listening. There's not a one of us that doesn't have a fault. There's not a one of us that doesn't need changing in some way. Jesus saw this in Matthew 13 and 15. He said, these people's heart has waxed gross or heavy, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should save them, should heal them. They don't want to hear, they don't want to see, they don't want to understand, because they want to go on like they're going on now. A man told me one time, I was teaching him the gospel, and he said, I don't want to hear it. Because if he said, if I learn what I have to do, then I have to do it. So I don't want to hear about it. Just be quiet. I don't want to hear it. Now think about that. He wants to stay ignorant because if he hears what he has to do, then he feels like he has to do it. So he's closed his eyes, he's closed his ears. Calvin Coolidge went to worship one morning. He wasn't much churchgoer. But President Coolidge went, and for once, the First Lady didn't go with him. Well, when he got home, she said, well, what was the sermon about? He said, sin. She said, well, what did the preacher say about it? He's against it. That's all he knew. What was the problem? He wasn't listening. It was probably a great sermon, but President Coolidge wasn't listening. Sometimes we are blinded and deafened by our own sins to the point where we don't want to hear anything else. There were one time in West Virginia, there was a gospel meeting. And there was a man who was living in sin, and everybody knew it, and the preacher was trying to convert him. And every evening after the sermon, at the door, the man would shake the preacher's hand. He said, "Boy, you sure told him tonight. You sure told him tonight." And the last night of the meeting, there was a big storm where the only people present were the preacher and this man. And the preacher laid it on hot and heavy. And after the sermon, the man was real quiet for a while. And finally he said, "Man," he said, "you sure would have told him if they'd been here tonight." What was wrong? He wasn't listening. The message was for him, but he wasn't receiving it. He was deaf. He was blinded by his own sins. Sin is deceptive. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, here the writer says, "Exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." When you're tempted to sin, it looks real good. It looks like that'll make you happy. We see ads for alcoholic drinks on television and in magazines and so on. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's having fun. They have a happy hour. They make it look good. And some people are swayed by this. But you can't get ensnared, because that's deceitful. The deceitfulness of sin that this writer was talking about. You just can't do that. We once lived in sin before we were converted to Christ. And in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul was writing this young man, and he said, "We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, we were deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another." What happened? "But after that, the kindness and love of God toward man appeared." Just like the sun came out. Just like everything brightened. Here you were in the darkness, in the filth of sin, sunk in the mire of wickedness, and then the love of God appeared. And you saw that there was a way out. A way that you could climb out of all that filthiness. A way that you could thoroughly cleanse yourself. But some people didn't climb out. Why? They weren't listening. They didn't get it. They weren't listening. And sometimes duty calls and we don't listen. I told you this once before, but a lady in this congregation told me that this happened. And I want to relate it again. There was a young Christian mother who had just gotten out of the hospital, and she had three small children. And there was nobody around, there was no husband, there was no relatives, there was nobody but her and those kids. And one of the ladies from the church visited her. She came in through the back door, past the kitchen with a sink piled high with dirty dishes. She passed the laundry room where the clothes were spilling out into the hall. And she went into the living room cluttered with the children's toys. And the children saying, "Mommy, I'm hungry." And she sat there and talked to this lady for a few minutes. And then she got up, and as she left, she said, "Now, if there's anything I can do, please let me know." She didn't get it. Duty was calling, duty was screaming in her ears, and she didn't even hear it. She wasn't listening. That's pitiful. We are bountifully blessed if we listen. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, here Solomon said, "Blessed is the man that heareth me," that's the Lord, "watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." Blessed is a man that is always ready to listen, always ready to hear. Now, Lord, if you have something else to say to me, I want to hear it. And I want to do it, whatever it is, Lord. I'm always at the gates, the post of the door. I'm always there ready to listen. And he said, if you're like that, you're blessed. You're receiving blessings from God. And that applies today just as strongly as it applied then. Then in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1, he said, "Keep thy foot," or watch where you're going, or watch what you're doing. "Keep thy foot when you go into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools." What is they used to say? It's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. There's sometimes it's just best to keep quiet, isn't it, Jerry? Sometimes it's just best to keep quiet. So when you come into the house of God, come in there ready to listen. Don't come in there ready to say something foolish. Be ready to come in to hear the Word of God and to apply it to your life. Now, in the parable of the sower, Jesus was explaining it. The apostles had, or disciples had asked him, "Oh, what does this mean, the parable of the sower? What did you mean by it?" And in his explanation in Luke 8:15, he said, "But that is the seed, on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word of God, forgot it." No. Having heard the word of God, keep it and do what? And bring forth fruit with patience. Those are the folks that were listening. They not only heard the word of God, they were listening. James 1:19. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be..." Are you listening to this? "Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." A wise man once said, "I think a long time before saying nothing." Because as we pointed out in class, once you say something, it can't be unsaid. And what you say might do some good, it might do some damage. And you can't undo it. But words sometimes can lull some people to sleep. Some people can sleep through a sermon. Now, I understand that there are medications that will slow you down and make you dry. Boy, do I understand that. But we have to listen. We have to be alert. We have to soak in the Word of God, because that's the only thing that can keep us alive spiritually. That's the only nourishment that we're going to get spiritually. Otherwise, we're going to die. But listen to Ezekiel 33:32. Boy, is this true. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice, for they hear thy words and do them not." I mean, this good voice can just lull you to sleep. But listen, the gospel is too important for us to go to sleep while hearing it. The gospel is too important for us not to listen and apply it to our lives. Are you listening this morning? Have you heard the message of Christ? Do you know that if you're not a Christian, what you have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? You have to repent of your sins, turn away from them. You have to confess the name of Jesus Christ before men. And you have to be baptized into Christ to forgive your sins. Did you know that? If you've not done that, are you listening this morning? Do you realize that that's what you have to do? Do you hear that? Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come unto me." I want you to come to me because I've got something for you. I've got ease of your labor. I can relieve you of all that labor. And I've got a yoke for you to put on. I've got work for you to do. I want you to come and do that. That's the invitation that applies to each one here this morning. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, he said, "The Spirit and the Bride," that's the bride's the church, "the Holy Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And who that heareth say, 'Come.' Everyone that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Oh, what a wonderful invitation. What a wonderful invitation. You can cleanse yourself. You can be assured of eternal life by obeying the gospel. Now, have you done this? Have you fallen away? You need to come back? Well, listen to this. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. "Remember from whence you are fallen, and repent and do the first works." Come back and start all over again. Are you listening? Do you hear that? That is the invitation of the gospel of Christ. Now, if there's someone here this morning that needs to respond, please come now as we stand and sing.